On this week's podcast, I interview Corinne Crabtree. She is a weight loss coach that has helped thousands of women in their weight loss journey after having completed her own, losing over 100 pounds and having kept it off for over 15 years. Corinne prides herself on a no BS approach to weight loss and the weight loss journey. Corinne also hosts the Losing 100 Pounds podcast, where she has over 36 million downloads. I love Corinne's no-nonsense approach to not only how we lose weight, but how we live our lives. In this episode, you are going to find so many insightful pearls, not only to help you on your weight loss journey, but also help you redefine your relationship to yourself, your goals, and your values. I know you're going to find this episode exciting and illuminating. So let's dig in. Welcome back to Health Bite. I'm your host, Dr. Adrienne Udeem. I'm a triple board certified internist, obesity medicine, and physician nutrition specialist. And I help people like you redefine nutrition to include not only the food that we eat, but all the ways we can nourish ourselves physically, mentally, and emotionally. Well, welcome, Corinne. I'm so excited to have you. We've had the opportunity to speak many times, and you have so much experience in this space. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, this is going to be good.
Tell us first what you do and, more importantly, how you got into this space.
So I help women lose weight, but with what we call the no BS, which is most women have gone and done tons and tons of diets over the course of their lifetime. There's like a recent statistic, I forget who put it out, but basically by the time of the age of 40, a woman has tried to lose weight 130 times. And I just almost fell out when I read it. When I started losing weight, and this was back, I've had it off for over 15 years. The one thing that I knew I couldn't do was another really hard restrictive plan. I had tried thousands of those. It felt like I had tried all the rules and nothing seemed to be working. So I had to really pull apart, what did I really need? And what was I also really willing to do in order to lose my weight? Every diet that I failed proved one thing. I wasn't willing to do anything to lose weight. I was really needing something that was going to work with my life. So I started with really simple things. I started with changing how I thought about myself. I walked daily for 15 minutes, started adding in more water. But I really started paying attention to how much I was eating and why was I overeating so much. And when I did that, it started revealing to me problems I was having, like all day long beating myself up, being a too fat of a wife, for having no energy for my kid. I had transitioned from working for years to being a stay-at-home mom. I had a real tough time with that. It was like, I just felt like nothing I did was ever good enough now. And when I really understood that that was why I was eating, then I knew what I really needed to solve, which was a lot of my just BS inner self-talk. I needed to learn how to relax a little, not have such high standards for myself, how to know that I was okay. Like all of that had to happen. And when I did that, the weight really started coming off because I wasn't eating over those problems anymore.
And how much did you lose?
I lost over 100 pounds. So it just depends. Like right now I'm more at the like 105 to 110 range, but I always like to keep a wide range. I have a 10 pound range for a long time ago. I was like, look, like trying to like maintain like a 2 pound window is ridiculous.
Right.
We just all have seasons of life we go through, like vacations and summers and holidays and stuff. So I give myself about a 10 pound range. So I've lost a lot, over 100 pounds.
Yeah. And you've kept it off for 15 years.
At least. Yeah. I'm so terrible at math, but I started losing weight in 2005 and then I started my weight loss business in 2007. And so it was in between there. It was about 18 months of weight loss. And that's when I lost the weight. And then about 6 months later is when I was like, I got to help people do this too. Like, that's what I really wanted to do with my life.
I think a lot of times when people are in the thick of it, wanting to lose weight, having this number of pounds that feels insurmountable. And certainly 100 pounds is a big number to look at. When we start talking about mindset, which is essentially what you're doing, there's a pushback, right? Like, we want the answer. So can you talk a little bit more about specifically this, the worthiness piece? You brought up the word worthy, and this is a practice, right? Feeling worthy. It's not a one and done. Talk a little bit more about why that's so integral to successfully being able to lose weight, whatever the amount is.
Yeah. So for me, when I was growing up, like, my mom was super young when she had me, she was 17. Mm. So she was a baby raising a baby. I was thrust, and she was a single mother. My dad was out of the picture pretty fast. So I felt very abandoned. Like, something must be wrong with me. When I would see him, I don't think he ever meant it, but he would make fun of my weight. Like, if he was talking, like, he acted like a child, like, as if it's just funny and this is just what we do. And so I just grew up just feeling bullied and judged. My weight was such a problem in my life. Like, I got severely bullied in school. Like, and then I felt like my dad was bullying me. I remember often my mom making comments about, you know, if you don't lose weight, you're never going to find a man. And if you don't find a man, you're going to be stuck like me. Mm-hmm. You're going to be broke and poor. So when, like, my 20s, and especially, I really got severely, I mean, I was always overweight, but I was above 250 several times. Mm-hmm. And it really was just a matter of me, like, all of this crap that I believed about myself. I just, like, being overweight didn't even feel safe. Like, I can remember thinking all the time, like, oh my God, you're not smart enough. If you lose this job, no one's going to hire someone as big as you. So mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time, like, fearing and worrying and stuff. And it was all laced because underneath it, I didn't feel like I was good enough. I felt like something was wrong with me just on every level. And my weight was really just kind of the physical example of it. Yeah. So when I was losing weight, I really noticed how, oh my gosh, every day, one of the reasons why I eat so much is because I'm sitting around tearing myself apart, telling myself all the reasons why, like, I'm such a failure. I'm too lazy. I should be doing more. I should be better than this. Like, my husband deserves better than this. My kid deserves better than me. That is a miserable way to live. You just feel hopeless all the time. You feel like you're letting everyone down. You're worried people are going to leave you. And when you're on edge like that, for many of us, food is the only way we know how to take the edge off of life. Right, and we think our life is creating it. But most of the time, at least most of the women that I work with, I would say 80% of what goes on in terms of our feelings and stuff, it is all rooted in some way that we're causing our own pain. We are not, like, thinking about, am I really not good enough? I mean, why does, like, for me, my husband must have told me 5,000 times that he loved me. He did not care how much I weighed, that he didn't marry me for anything other than, you are the person I want to be with. I have the most amount of fun, the person I want to talk to. But I didn't believe it. Like, I would tell myself, yeah, it's just a matter of time. He's going to get tired of this one day. So until you really learn how to start working on your relationship with yourself, if you don't have a good relationship with your food, with yourself, then you're going to have a relationship with food, and it's not going to be a good one. It's going to be, I need you to fill all my holes for me every day.
So how did you snap out of that place? So there's all this self-deprecation happening, all of this self-loathing, right? How does one snap out of that? Was there, like, a inciting moment, a person, an event? What happened? How did it happen?
It was evolvement. Like, I think people always think, like lightning's going to strike. I was literally just teaching a class to my membership, and I was like, y'all, there's no, like, the problem most of us run into is So for a long time, I didn't lose weight because I was so afraid it was going to be hard. I was so afraid I was going to fail, all these other things. So every day I would be like, I'll start tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow. I'll start next week. I'll start the first of the month, like all these things. But then there was a day where I woke up where I was so freaking miserable. I don't know what happened that day, but I just woke up and I was like, I can't keep living like this. So I had eventually kicked the can of weight loss so far down the road that I had to wait until the pain of staying where I was outweighing the pain of even trying. And I tell people all the time, don't wait for that. You do not want to spend your life in pain and waiting, like, I just need my extra painful moment. And so for me, I did wake up that day, and it was a day where I decided I was, it's not like I snapped out of anything. I woke up that day and decided, today I have to try. Mm-hmm. Today I have to do something different. And it was a million tiny decisions, little steps. Like when I would talk bad to myself, I would just be like, look, that's not helpful. Like, even if I didn't, when I first started, I did not believe I was going to lose weight at all. I just knew I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. So I didn't think about losing 100 pounds. Like that overwhelmed me. That freaked me out. But what I could do is for that day, I was like, today you have to take better care of yourself than you did yesterday. And whatever that's going to be. And like, so on my day one, I broke down, cried to my husband and just said, starting tomorrow, I thought about it all day. I want to walk for 15 minutes every day. I don't know if I'm going to lose weight. I don't know if this is going to work, but that is the only thing that I could think of that like I could do. And I knew also that whatever I was going to do, I was so fragile in the beginning, I couldn't overwhelm myself. I knew I needed wins way more than I needed like a 180 correction in my life. Those had never worked. Those types of diets didn't. So I just started with walking, and I will, and this is the truth. I would have to drive to the gym. It was like crappy weather in Nashville. So there was no walking outside. I had a one-year-old who hated the stroller. So there was no taking him, like, you know, mother's like, oh, just take him out for a walk in your stroller. I'm like, well, good luck, because my kid needs to be dragged and carried crying the entire time. So that's out for me. So my husband was like, if you can go at night when I get home from work. And he didn't get home until like 7 o'clock at night. He was like, go join the gym, go walk. And so I did. And the entire time I would drive there, I would sit and be thinking, this isn't good enough. Everybody's going to be looking at you. You don't even know how to use the machines. I bet you're going to be the biggest girl there. Like I was full of, like cloaked in shame, like not just full of it, but cloaked in it. But I would tell myself, look, we just can't keep doing the way we've been doing either. And so I didn't feel 1,000 times better. I just was very willing to take one small step every day to doing something.
I really love that. And I think we say this all the time, small changes or small steps, you know, over time accumulate into massive impact. Yeah. And yet people, you know, when you're in the thick of it, they don't buy into that. But right. There is a ripple effect, right? Because I bet that that commitment to yourself for 15 minutes a day was not just that commitment to 15 minutes, right? There was a ripple effect. And I want you to talk about the small wins, because that's another thing that I think we dismiss, the necessity to really be able to celebrate the small accomplishments, because they may seem small in measure, but actually they are huge leaps of faith.
Oh yeah.
It was a huge leap of faith for you to, you know, feel uncomfortable on the machines and know that you don't know what you're doing and worry about what other people were saying. It was a huge leap of faith that is beyond what that 15 minutes really was.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was like betting, so one thing when it comes to not taking those small actions, I think the biggest thing that gets in people's way is thinking this won't be good enough. Mm. And the one thing that worked for me was always telling myself, what isn't good enough is not doing anything. That's the definition of not good enough.
Right.
Doing something to see if it's going to help or not is good enough. And so like I made a big deal with myself in the beginning that like, look, It doesn't have to feel like it's going to be good enough. We just have to logically think about, are we going to stay on the couch where we know nothing good comes of it? Or are we going to go and walk and see if some good comes up of it? So that really helped me like stack wins. And I also knew in the beginning, I needed some wins. I had to give myself wins. I had to quit giving myself only failure options. You know, when I would not start today, not do a little thing, dismiss something little, that was me choosing not to win. And I was like, all right, the best way for me to feel better is to do little things so I can feel better. And so when I would go to the gym and finish my walk, I would walk out of there and just tell myself, okay, another day, you did it.
Yeah.
So now, I think a lot of people like want to feel like, I don't know, fireworks and all this other kind of stuff. In the beginning, it was really hard for me to have, orgasmic experience.
I mean, I was just going to say that. I was just going to use that word. Like it doesn't have to be a flipping orgasm every time, and it won't be.
Right. It won't be. But just even acknowledging, good, you did it. And then just paying attention. Do I feel a little better because I did it? Or do I, like, I have never once taken a positive action for myself and at the end been like, well, I wish I hadn't have done that.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel worse that, you know, that I did it. When I have decided not to take a positive action because I was worried it wasn't going to feel good enough, always felt at the end, like, here I am, just, you know, putting my life on hold one more day. Here I am screwing up one more day. I always felt bad about that. It was just a lot. Like, I mean, I'll be truthful. So much of my initial weight loss journey was a lot of rethinking through a lot of things that I thought.
Yeah.
Like just recognizing how often I was talking about, and I would always believe it, but like talking about things as if it was, this won't be good enough. And I would just believe that as if you were quoting the Bible to me. And then when I started, I was like, I've got to question that. Is that even really true? Is it really true that this little thing won't be good enough? Or could it be equally as true that this little thing, you'll feel a little bit better after? That's a much better way to think about it than it's like, it's just not good enough.
Well, I think what you're pointing to is, you know, this entrenched idea that just because we think it, it means that it's true. You know, right. We don't question our thoughts. We just take it as the Bible, like you said. So it really is this tearing apart the notion of just because I think it means that it's valid.
I will tell you, I think my brain is just a big old liar most of the time. I question about everything I think, even to this day. Like if I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, you look old, I'm like, really? Do I look old or do I just not have makeup on? I have a lot of loose skin from weight loss. You know, you don't spend most of your life 100 pounds overweight and just have, you know, bounce back skin like a 20-year-old.
Right.
And a lot of times I look at my legs and I'm just like, ugh, they're disgusting. And I'll say like, now, are your legs really disgusting? Or are these legs the legs that you 100 pounds ago would have killed for? I would have given anything. Like if that 250-pound version of me who was depressed and desperate on her couch, she would have loved anything to have a pair of legs that could slide into a size 6 jeans.
I mean, this
she
is
wouldn't care what they look like.
This is so important because one of the things that I come across very often with my patients and clients in the office is that they'll come in feeling like you said, nothing has worked, and we'll say some version of, if I could just get 10 pounds off, if I could just get 20 pounds off. And then we get there. And then as soon as we get there, they're dismissing that. Like, but oh, I've got so much more to lose, or right? They're dismissing that huge win and the impact of that, not recognizing where you came from.
Yeah.
And celebrating that win. It's more than just being mean to yourself, but it is so defeating in terms of your long-term ability, the durability of this process, right? You're undermining yourself by not being able to see where you've come from, where you've been.
Yeah, I think like that's so important because like when we think about why we want to lose weight, no one ever wants to weigh a certain number. They think they want to weigh a certain number. They think they want to be a certain size. They think they want to look a certain way. But when you dig in and say like, okay, why is that number important? Why is that look important? It will always have a feeling attached to it. And a lot of times it's like, I just want to be proud. I just want to be happy. And as humans, we make this mistake of thinking that how we feel is attributed to something happening instead of how you feel is attributed to how your outlook on something. So if you think about, I just want to lose 10 pounds. If I lost 10 pounds, I know I would feel better. How would you feel? I would feel like I have momentum. I would feel proud. I would feel confident. All right. When you lose the 10 pounds, you better be giving yourself that feeling. You have to talk about like, here's exactly why I lost 10 pounds. I followed through. I did these things. If you don't do that part and give yourself that feeling, the reason why so many of us end up giving up on diets is because no matter how much weight we lose, we never get the feeling we think we're owed. We just get to the next milestone and I still feel like it's not good enough. I'm still worried about what I'm going to eat. I'm still thinking I should look different. I'm still thinking the same way about myself. I'm just a smaller package. The flavor of the thoughts change. Just like when you said, if I could just lose 10 pounds, then I would feel, I guess, motivated. Well, then when you lose 10 pounds, and if all you think, like, if you have a thought like, but I got so much more to lose, that's demotivating. You're giving yourself the exact opposite feeling you were seeking.
Yes.
So prepare yourself for like, all right, these milestones, these things. And that's what I got really good at while I was losing weight was every time I started doo-doo talking about something not being good enough or you should be doing more, whatever, I'd be like, oh no, we are making positive changes. Like you need to recognize you are doing good things. This will work if you just keep going. What won't work is if you talk to yourself like a douchebag and then quit because of that. Right. That won't work. So I was just really good at an internal conversation all the time. That's to me, the most exhausting part of weight loss was the having to talk to myself all the time. It's just like, I always equate it to me, the most exhausting time of being a parent is when kids are like 2 and 3 years old. And you're constantly like explaining to them, this is why we wash our hands. This is why we don't hit our sister. This is why we share. Like, it's always like, why? And you're constantly in negotiation. You're always telling them what to do. Like every day, it's like, oh my God, did we forget all the things we talked about yesterday? That part of raising a child is so exhausting because it's constant talking. It's a back and forth.
And reiterating the same thing over and over again. Yeah.
Yes. And to me, like weight loss is like the toddler years. It's just
that analogy.
Every minute your brain is like, I want to smear doo-doo on the walls for a little while. It's like, no.
You know, another thing that came to mind as I heard you speak is this tension between knowing you have this goal. So somewhere in your mind, I'm sure you are hoping for losing that 100 pounds or even 50 pounds of it. But what I also heard in your words was letting go of that outcome. A lot of times I think we fail because that 15-minute walk gets tied to the 100 pounds at the end of the 18 months. And that's demotivating because, of course, in the moment, you can't see that 15 minutes, you know, translating into that huge outcome. So it's a matter of holding that aspiration in mind, but holding it lightly, holding it. I always think of it like an egg, right? You hold that desire too hard and you squash the egg. You hold it too lightly and it slips through your fingers. So holding that goal in mind, but very loosely, being untied to the outcome, because that is the way that you propel yourself. That's the nuts and bolts of it, right? I think a lot of times people are like, okay, I get the big picture, but how do I do it day by day? And it is by just letting go of that long-term goal and focusing on that short-term decision.
Yeah, like the way that I've always thought about it is, and this to me just, I always like to think about things as logically as possible, because our brains think about things very illogically. Like, it's like, how the hell could a 15 minute walk today equal 100 pound weight loss? It's like, a 15 minute walk doesn't equal 100 pounds of weight loss, but repeated daily positive actions do. So the only thing I have to focus on each day, it makes logical sense that if I today do things I need to do to win today, and I string together enough days where I'm showing up, making changes, not quitting, those kinds of things, I will lose 100 pounds. And I think that that's the thing. Like for me, I'll just be honest. When I first started, I did not think about the 100 pounds at all. I did not even set a goal weight. I really started focusing on like, all right, that freaks me out. Like it brought up too many doubts and fears. It brought up everything I'd ever failed in the rest of my life. And I didn't have the capacity yet to turn down all that negativity in my brain. So I had to not trigger as much negativity as I could. So setting a goal for me in the beginning was going to be a little detrimental. But what I could do is figure out like today, this is what I'm going to do. And it makes sense to me that if I do these things today, then tomorrow I'm going to feel like doing these things and maybe something else. And so I was stacking things until I got to the point to where I saw myself winning enough that I could think like, I wonder if we can get under 200. I wonder, oh my gosh, could I actually get to 175? That 175 had always been the weight I thought I would always weigh. I was like, if I could just get to 175, life will be amazing. I got to 175 because I'd been changing how I thought about stuff. I was like, I bet I could lose the whole 100 pounds. I liked so much of my life. I liked the things I was doing for myself, and I was liking me for the first time because I was so aware of how I talked to myself, and I was changing it all the way down that I was like, let's just go for it. I mean, in that moment, it didn't seem scary at all. It was like, I should just go for 150. I mean, I've been making a lot of improvements. I mean, I seem to be doing okay. Every time I say I'm going to try something, I'm sticking with it. Let's just see what happens. That for me worked. But I do think that people do hold on to a goal. Like they focus so much on a goal that they forget that they need to be having a relationship with all the steps that get them there. What is it going to take to get there? And what are you like, think about that first and then break that down. Like, okay, that might be all the things that are going to need to happen. But for today, what is the first thing that needs to be happening out of all of that? Not all the things, but what today needs to change.
You've kind of already addressed this, Corinne, but can you speak a little bit to the motivation factor? Because when we start something new, when we get the gym membership, when we go see the coach or the doctor, when we start the new medication, whatever the case may be, there is this like excitement, this newness, right? Mm-hmm. An excitement around the newness that carries us in terms of motivation. But then let's be honest, you get to the doldrums of it, right? Like the boring drive to the gym, you know, or the boring 15 minutes. How do you get yourself off the couch when you're really not motivated? Speak to that motivation piece a little bit.
A lot of people misinterpret what motivation is. So when people, like everybody always has an idea of what being motivated is. And it's usually like this, a cheerleader on crack. I'm so excited. And we're just, you know, doing high kicks and everything. Like, look, you're going to spend very little bit of your life in that land. That's like being excited and being elated and stuff. To me, motivation is more about willingness. What am I willing to do today? Because you are supposed to lose the excitement, the high, all the things with everything. I always liken it to a car. Almost everybody has owned a new car at some point. If you're like most people, When you first buy that car, you make all these agreements with yourself. I'm going to wash it with a, you know, cloth diaper every Friday and vacuum it out daily and slap anyone who even dares to try to bring a bottle of water into my new car. And it smells good. And you're thinking about it for about a month of just, you're looking at it. You enjoy it. You're thinking all positive things about it. Then after about a month, you're not noticing the new car smell anymore. You've gotten used to it. You've gotten used to how it drives. You've figured out a few things about the car that you don't really like. It's like, it was great when you first got it, but like, I'll liken it to my car. I've got a Tesla. I just thought that thing was amazeballs the moment I drove it off the lot. A few months in, I'm mad at it because the big screen has so many buttons. One, I can't read it without my glasses. Can't find nothing. I'm like, who organized these buttons to begin with? I don't know what half this stuff is. And so I'm like feeling all the time like I'm just underutilizing. This car has too much for me. Our brains are naturally inclined to find problems, to lose interest. We're not supposed to stay motivated. But what we can do is we can stay very tied to, this is who I want to be though. I want to be the kind of person, just like go to the gym when I don't want to. Just like today, I couldn't get my workout done this morning. I had a work emergency pop up. I rarely have one pop up, but this morning by 6 a.m., some stank was happening. I was like, crap, I got to get this solved because I got a full day. I can't solve it any other time today. So I'm going to have to work out at like 3:30 today, which is 3:30 in the afternoon. So oh, girl, I start my work day at 5 a.m. and I try to end sometime around 3 every day. And then if I have to work a little bit in the evening, I will, but most of the time I don't. Most of the time I check out, but I'm just useless after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like no one needs, like I couldn't even take care of a small child if I had to. Like it's just terrible. Today though, I got to go to the gym. There's not one part of me that's just like, can't wait to end a full work day and interviews and all the things, change my clothes, drive in the rain and go do my back workout. I will be just like everybody else, sitting there hating life at 3 o'clock and disgusted that I have to go. I have gone to the gym so many times because it's who I want to be, because I would rather go to bed not disappointed in myself. I don't want to make up workouts on the weekend. I like to have them all done before my Saturday and Sunday so I can relax. I have made choices for myself so many times that today I'll dread it, but I'll do it. I mean, and that is like, it's not a fun answer for anyone because we all just, we want to feel, we're like feel good junkies in life.
We are.
But y'all, if you want to lose weight, you're just not going to feel like doing a lot of stuff, but you don't need to feel like it to do it. You need to be properly motivated. That doesn't mean excited. It means I'd rather get it done right now so that tomorrow me doesn't have to pay the price. She doesn't have to wake up tomorrow dreading what I kick down the road to tomorrow. I'd rather go to that gym in the afternoon when I don't feel like it just to prove to myself it'll be fine. It's never as bad as you think. Once you get started, you'll be okay. I'd rather be that person. And so I just think that motivation is just one of those things is where you just have to question it. If you're looking to feel really good to do everything in life, that's probably why you're overweight. Because most of the things we're going to do in our life, we're not going to be excited and motivated to do it. So much of life is hard discussions with people, setting boundaries, saying no to people that are nice, but you're like, I don't have time. Because when you are like in life, you very often have to get really good at doing the things you don't want to do in order to have the life that you want.
Two things kind of popped out at me, Corinne, as you were talking. And the first one is really aligning with who you want to be. Right. Mm-hmm. When we tie it to the numbers of this on the scale, then the 2 pounds up and down become a demotivator. But if we can, again, you know, let go of that outcome, but really align with do I want to be the person who does what she says she's going to do? Do I want to be the person who walks the walk and has integrity in my life, right? Those are the values that make us successful, not only in weight loss, but this was my second point. The reason why I love this work so much is because it's beyond the numbers on the scale. It is so representative. The way we interact, our relationship with food and our bodies is really a mirror to how we do things in life. And to your point, if you want to create a group of aligned women as you have, or get a degree, right? Like I knew I wanted my degree. I didn't want every day to get up and go into the library, right? It wasn't like, wow, I'm going to go back into the library after dinner. But I knew I wanted that degree. And so it was non-negotiable that I had to do that work. So we can take hints and clues out of other aspects of our life, our relationship with our career or our partner or our kids. Sometimes I'm like, you know, come 6 o'clock, I'm like, man, do you kids have to eat dinner again? Do I have to make dinner again? But you know, you do those things. You sit down with your child and do homework or create a healthy meal, not because you always feel like it, but because it's tied to your values of creating a healthy home, a healthy relationship, maintaining a career. And our relationship with food is the same.
Yeah. I always think about like a useful exercise for me is to think about who do I want to be in the tough situations. So like when you were saying that about the scale, one of the things I really wanted to be is I wanted to be someone that no matter what the scale said, I wouldn't quit, because I had not been that person in the past. I had been the kind of person that needed like it needed to be a Vegas slot machine going wild. Like it was broken. It was just paying out all the time. And I wanted to be the kind of person who was like, all right, I'm going to weigh in just to see how I'm doing. But I want to be the kind of person that if the scale goes up, if it's not telling me what I think it should, I'm the kind of person that keeps going, that figures it out, who is patient. That was a big one for me. I had to be more patient in my life than ever while I was losing weight. I had a 6-week stall on the scale. And I was right at 200, and I wanted below 200, like nobody's business. And for 6 weeks, I couldn't get there. And it took every ounce of patience. Every week, I would just be throwing an internal fit and I'd have to talk myself off the ledge to keep going, to not just go have margaritas and chips and start tomorrow. Like I wanted to be the kind of person that kept going when things didn't go the way I thought they should. And that translated to everything in my life. Like, I can't tell you how many lessons that taught me just in growing my business, raising my child, everything. For all of us, we have to think about who do I want to be when these things happen in my life? And just start making a list of the things that typically hijack you, derail you, you quit over, you lose your temper over, whatever it is. Start thinking about, well, this is who I am and I don't like that. So when these things happen now, what's going to be my new reaction to it? I know what I'm going to want to do, but that person is not getting anywhere. So now I've got to like come up with a new action and decide to start showing up in a new way for those things. It will do two things. Number one, you'll just get closer to your goals. When you take new action, you're going to get closer to your goals. But the second thing it starts showing you that maybe whatever you've been reacting to might not be as bad as you think. Yeah. You start naturally getting new perspectives on things. Now, like even in maintenance, if I go on vacation and I come home and I'm up 4 or 5 pounds, I now can come home and when I see it, like I might just be like, ugh, boy, I'm going to feel like crap for a few days. You know, I'm a little bit puffier than I like to be. I'm more bloated. My clothes are going to fit tighter. There's that stuff. But I want to be the kind of person who comes back and always after a vacation, just goes back to living the way she lives. She doesn't need to anguish for days. She doesn't need to keep eating like a turd because the scale's not showing what she wants. She doesn't need to detox, juice up, or flip out either. She just needs to sit there and say, like, all we got to do is wait a week. Get back to what you always do. And in a week, I bet you feel better.
Yeah.
And that's who I want to be. And I just think that's such a powerful exercise for everybody when they're just thinking through things.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I wonder, this is a lot of mental, as you said, exhausting mental work. Did you have or do you have any other practices that help manage the voices in your head and the positive or motivating voice that you wanted to replace it with? So do you journal? Do you breathe? Do you meditate? How do you help to kind of fortify, you know, I'm imagining like so much that we juggle in our heads. What are other practices that you have, if any?
I do journal. I don't do, like, you know, some people do long, extensive, you know, journaling and stuff. I usually just write a little bit at the first of the day. Here's what I'd like to get done for the day, or here's how I'd like the day to go. Is there anything that I think is going to stop me from doing it? So sometimes it's like, you're going to be tired, or this is going to be so hard. Or like I was writing about, I have a project coming up, and this morning I was writing about it and just trying to map out what all needs to be done. And one of the thoughts that came out was, I'm just so afraid this won't work. And so I really thought about that sentence. And I said, it's okay to be afraid if it won't work, but we won't even know if it will work until you try. So we just have to have courage to try things. So journaling was a big piece for me while I was losing weight. I just kind of journaled each day about things I was going to do that day to lose weight. And, you know, did I think I could do it? If I didn't think I could, I would try to make it a little bit easier. Like, all right, well, what would I feel pretty sure that I could do? Because I wanted to end each day feeling like a winner. So I would set myself up with things that I could win at doing. I don't meditate. It's always been something I wanted to do, which is hilarious because my son meditates in silence for 30 to 45 minutes a day.
How old is he?
21.
Wow.
And he's been doing it forever. And I was like, where'd you learn this? He's like, YouTube.
That's incredible. Like,
I know. He just astonishes me. I think the only other thing that I would say is a active practice of mine is I'm really good at feeling feelings, like when they strike up. So I have spent a lot of time understanding, like, if I'm angry, what is the physical reaction I have in my body? If I'm feeling anxious or overwhelmed, what is the physical reaction that I have in my body? Because one thing I realized that I did for a long time was I would feel feelings and it would be so uncomfortable, but it would happen so fast. I would just eat to numb them. I didn't always know that it was happening. So I had to get really good at understanding before I ate, what's really happening. I'm anxious. Like, I would examine how my body felt and be like, okay, so the worst thing that's happening right now is, like, I'm afraid of this and I'm got a really racing heart. My pits are sweating and my throat's tight. That right there just helped me be like, oh, okay, I think I can deal with physical sensations.
Yeah.
So now I don't have to eat. But it wasn't until I started realizing that my physical sensations were just, that's what the emotion was. Before, it was like I was feeling my thoughts and I was just believing them. So if I got anxious, like, this isn't going to work and everyone's going to be disappointed in you. Well, I just really believed that because then I would get anxious and I would go eat. So I never had a reason to question it. But when I would get really anxious, like, okay, the only thing that's happening right now is all these physical sensations. Do we have to eat over that? And I would be like, no, we're not going to eat over that. Then I'd be like, okay. And I would move on with my life. And even if I was still feeling anxious, it would allow, if I didn't eat over it, then it made me have to question what I was thinking to begin with. Every time I ate, I didn't have to question the thought. I solved the problem, which is I don't want to feel anxious. And so when I took away food and I still needed to solve the problem of I don't want to feel anxious, then I was like, oh, then I got to figure out a new way to feel anxious. So I can either figure out how to think different, or then that might be with breathing techniques. But I've always been really good at like just really questioning how I'm thinking about things and examining that.
Yeah. And I love this because this is, we totally circled back to where we started, which is really in essence, what you're saying is awareness, right? We have this deluge of thoughts that then trigger feelings and then trigger actions. Sometimes, like you said, they're so interconnected. They happen, they feel like they're happening in an instant altogether. But in essence, what you shared at the beginning and what you're saying now, and really in so much of what you've said over our time together, is opening up that space, creating this like time tunnel so that there's awareness in terms of what am I thinking, and therefore the opportunity to question it. Awareness of what am I feeling, and therefore I have an opportunity to reckon with it in a way other than soothing, whether it's food or alcohol or smoking or overworking. And so we're very aligned in that. So I love that we've circled back here at a perfect time where we're ready to close. I would recommend for people listening to this podcast, I try to highlight some of your points, but I almost feel like hit rewind and take notes on the big points, because I think there were so many excellent pearls there. Corinne, tell everyone where they can find you if they want to learn more and interact with you more.
Yeah. So one thing I always suggest people do is I have like a small free course on weight loss that's super simple. You'll get like three videos that kind of talk about the basics of what you need to get started for weight loss, but they're not going to be overwhelming. It's the same things that I did in the very beginning, and that's at nobsfreecourse.com. And then I also have a podcast called Losing 100 Pounds with Corinne. So I'm always there in your ear every Friday.
Love it.
And probably cussing. I cuss on that podcast. Just a warning to all your people.
Well, I'm going to share one thing that, because Corinne and I have had a conversation already. I found her because she was cursing all over Instagram. And I told her about this. I was so intrigued by this woman who's just throwing out F-bombs. And then you had an actual F-bomb, a knitted bomb
with the letter F. Right here.
Right? So for the people who are watching this on YouTube, they can see the picture of that F-bomb. It's adorable. It's knitted.
One of my clients sent that to me. She actually, we have accountability groups inside of our program, and she's got an accountability group, and they all curse like me, and she knitted them all little F-bombs. I think she did it for Christmas or something like that. I can't remember the story, but I was like, I saw it in our Facebook group, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you haven't sent me one.
I mean, honestly, if she's listening to this episode, I want one too. If you can relay that message, I'd appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Well, Corinne, it's always wonderful to speak with you. I love your wisdom and your candor, and I think it's going to be truly helpful to so many of our listeners. So thank you for your time, and let's connect again soon.
All right. Thank you.